Lesson 13, An Arrogant Leader. This lesson begins on page 84 of your book. This audio text version does not contain the reading of any listed footnotes. We find our next bit of proof that the Antichrist is of Hebrew descent, a few chapters further on in the writings of Ezekiel. In the 27th chapter, Ezekiel was writing about the fall of Tyre. He was directed to issue a lamentation of its destruction. Lamentation means an expression of sorrow, mourning, or regret. Tyre was an ancient Phoenician city whose wealth and opulence were known throughout the world. It was the center of trade and lavish lifestyle for its day. That explains Ezekiel's mourning over her destruction. Tyre was the legendary birthplace of Europa and Elissa. Europa was a mythical woman with Phoenician origin of high lineage. The continent of Europe was in fact named after her. Even still, the European Union uses a woman riding a horse as its symbol, which finds its roots in Europa. The El part of Elissa is a name for the remote Phoenician creator god, El. Interestingly, this is also a name for God in Judaism. The Issa portion of the name means either fire or woman. When it is added onto El, it forms a feminine derivative of the word God. These are hints of the Antichrist's origin. Phoenicia was an ancient Semitic civilization that originated in the eastern Mediterranean and in the west of the Fertile Crescent. Scholars generally agree that it included coastal areas of today's Lebanon, northern Israel, and Syria. Eventually, its colonies reached the western Mediterranean and even the Atlantic Ocean. It lasted for over 1200 years, from 1500 to 300 BC, before its demise. The word Semitic means relating to a subfamily of Afroasiatic family that included Hebrew, Aramaic, Arabic, and Amharic languages. Not surprisingly, this matches perfectly with the location and timing for the Hebrew people. Even the languages of the Old Testament of the Bible were penned in Hebrew and Aramaic. All of this is not a coincidence. Remember, at the time of Ezekiel's writing of Tyre, all his words were prophecies. The events being described had not yet taken place. They were at least 300 years in the future. And, as we have learned, all prophecy has at least two components. The near component was for the kingdom of Tyre, with the second one being for a future empire. Ezekiel was given the word of the Lord, and told to take up a lamentation over Tyre. God told Ezekiel to prophesy that despite all her beauty and perfection, notwithstanding her numerous trading partners, reaching all the known world, and although she was a nation of great wealth and merchandise, Tyre was destined to be overthrown. Despite all her fantastic advantages, she would still fall into the heart of the sea and be lost to the world forever. As anyone can see by looking at a globe of the world, there's no country named Phoenicia located anywhere to be found. Ezekiel stated that the hue and cry of the sailors and pilots would make their voices heard over the roaring waves. They would cry bitterly, casting dust over their heads, while wallowing in ashes. They would gird themselves with sackcloth and weep for Tyre with the harshest and bitterest of mourning. For persons familiar with Jewish bereavement rituals, the prophesied lamentation over Tyre is about as bad as it gets. She was a nation that produced satisfying wares, which enriched the kings of the earth. Once she was destroyed, all her previous customers would become appalled at her destruction. The demise of Tyre would cause the merchants to become terrified. For Tyre was destined to be finished forever. In his next chapter, Ezekiel prophesies about two different persons. The word of the Lord comes to Ezekiel again, and this time, his prophecy is for the leader of Tyre. The word used for leader is lingid, and means someone that leads, or is able to lead. The second person discussed later in the chapter is identified as a king. So, we can assume this leader is not royalty. This passage is discussing not only the leader of Tyre, but the coming leader we now call the Antichrist. The Bible tells us he will be a man with a proud heart, who will declare himself to be God. This will happen, when he enters the Holy of Holies, and will sit down on the mercy seat, the space reserved solely for God alone. Here, he will declare that among all people, he alone is their God. Ezekiel goes on to describe in detail the depth of depravity this leader will exhibit. He believes himself to be all-knowing and wise. His followers support him in this view. He will gain great riches from trade, which only makes him all the prouder. He will come to believe he possesses God's wisdom. As a result, God will bring judgment in the form of a foreigner, which will attempt to kill him. The Bible says, he will die the death of the uncircumcised. Clearly, the Antichrist belongs to the people of circumcision, aka, the Jewish people. Again, the book of Revelation says, he will be wounded to death, by a sword. Jesus was killed by foreigners, and so will be the Antichrist. There are always key differences between Christ and the Antichrist, just as the one we discover here. Every significant step Jesus took was an eschatological stride towards his Holy Father. Jesus was constantly embracing his role, as being in subservience to God. The man known as the Antichrist will not act in this manner, but rather just the opposite. Look at the writings of Daniel. And he will exalt and magnify himself above every god, and will speak marvelous things above the God of gods. Here we clearly see the Antichrist will exalt and magnify himself above every god. And he's going to place himself on a plane above even the God of gods. I realize most translations don't use these words. But going back to the original Aramaic paints a different picture. Rather than trash the God who most people of the world respect and revere, the Antichrist will simply put himself in a greater place. Breaking down each word will bear this out. Let's start with the word for marvelous things. It's niplaot, and means causing wonder or astonishment. The 13 times it's used, it means wondrous, marvelous, miraculous. There are no other instances where the word means anything approaching monstrous. The word over is well, and means over, above, towards. It's a common word, having been used 512 times. This verse is the only time it is translated against. I have great respect for the scholars of the Bible. But in this case, I believe the translators made a mistake. The original biblical scripture remains error-free. First off, the very next verse uses this exact word two other times, and it's defined as and above in each instance. The real meaning of this phrase can be found by defining the words used in the description. The word astonishment means causing a feeling of great surprise. The word wonder means rapt attention at something mysterious. Satan's original sin was one of pride. He said in his heart, I will ascend to heaven and raise my throne above the stars of God. In the spirit of elevating himself above God, he did not disparage him in the process. Instead, he's going to essentially place himself on a higher plane than God Almighty. This idea is entirely consistent with the next verse. He will show no regard for the God of his fathers. Here again, the Bible is leaving us a major clue. We know already from our earlier discussion that the Antichrist is likely of Hebrew roots. So the phrase, God of his fathers, is one more indicator he's a descendant of the Hebrew race. This particular phrasing is only used in Scripture to indicate the Hebrew race. The same can be said for equating him with being circumcised. Both characteristics prove the Antichrist is of Jewish descent. But there are many more to examine in the next lessons. Lesson 13, Questions for Discussion. Question 1, Define Lamentation. Explain why Ezekiel was told to lament over Tyre. Question 2, Explain who the Phoenicians were of their day. What was their significance to the Bible? Question 3, Describe the future leader of the new Tyre. Why is his circumcision relevant? Question 4, The Antichrist will declare he's above God. How will he achieve this inside of the public? When you're ready, you can proceed on to lesson 14, Another Who's the Same. If you're listening using the website, just hit the back button on your browser, to return to the page with the chapter 3 lessons. Then move on to lesson 14, Another Who's the Same. Click on the blue box, to hear the lesson with all footnotes read aloud. Click on the green box, to hear the version without them. If you're using an audio player along with the thumb drive, to listen to the book, it will automatically sequence to the next lesson. If you wish to stop play, just hit pause or stop. As long as you keep the thumb drive in the player, it will remember your place when you resume listening. If you're listening to the book on a computer or tablet, manually selecting which lesson to listen to next, click on the File Explorer to pull up the thumb drive menu. Then, click on the box for lesson 14, labeled 3.14, Another Who's the Same, to hear the next lesson.